A beautiful day. So take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 12 at the moment. You know, God has given us a number of covenants, right? And the first one, the first major covenant that he has given to his people that is relevant to you and I today is the Abrahamic covenant. And I want you to consider what it says here. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham got up and went. God is the one who decided to call Abram, right? God is the one who decided to do all of these things. Abram never prayed for it. He never asked for it. I mean, not that that's recorded in the Bible. God's doing what God wants to do. And one of the things that's here for God's people, it says, "I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee." I believe that that is absolutely true for you and I today also. I don't know, you know, it doesn't, when you walk for God, when you really do his will, he blesses you, right? Well, he also knocks the heck out of the people who would knock you out. I really do believe that. You know, I've experienced it a few times in my life where I could see it for sure. You know, where someone really wanted to do evil and yet it was prevented. Go to, I think that's something that you, this is for the children of Abraham, by the way, right? In Galatians, it says that you and I are the children of Abraham, just to show you this. And not because we're his bloodline, but because we are of the same faith that he is, right? He is the father of all who believe, and we believe like him, therefore he is our father. In Galatians, we can go to 3, but it says in chapter 3 in verse 24, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You are heirs of the promises that were given to Abraham because you have faith like him, because you believed that there was a coming Messiah. You know, he believed that the Messiah was coming. He believed that the promise of eternity was going to be his because that promised seed was coming. We believe he was the Messiah. and that he fulfilled those things. We all believe on Christ. One of the really unique things that's just before that is where it says there's neither Jew nor Greek, no bloodlines anymore, as far as God's concerned. I mean, you got one. You know, I mean, otherwise you wouldn't be alive, right? You got one, but it matters nothing to him. There's no difference among people to him. There's no difference among male or female to him. And there's no difference whether you're bond or free, your financial situation, whether you work for a living or work for somebody else, whether you're a slave or whether you're free men. Now, whatever the heck it is, it makes no difference because God has given every person that believes the exact same thing. You know, that's not true of us in life, right? The world we live in, I was reading, I couldn't do that this morning, Ecclesiastes 9, right? I was reading that yesterday and having a, and just, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 talks about, you know what, there's two things in life you ought to know. One, that everybody's going to die. And the other is that life's not fair. Now, it wasn't a real positive message. But it is real. It is a real message. And if you understand how real it is, then you can, then he says, and live joyfully for today. Because that's the way it is. So instead of pouting about it and thinking that, you know, you gotta, it should be different, just understand that it is and live the day you have joyfully unto the Lord. Because today's a gift. Today's a gift. You know, that's one of the reasons we got a Savior. You know, we got a Savior because all men die. And nobody gets out of this thing alive. And we need the resurrection. And we need eternity. And life ain't fair. Yet we have a just God, a powerful God, one who is going to be fair in eternity. In this life, it ain't fair. It says the swift don't always win. I can't remember it all, and I don't. It really is not my point. We need a Savior, right? The promise that was given to Abraham, the covenant that was made to him, God says, you know what? Because you believe, these are the benefits. This is what I'm going to do. And part of that is I am going to bless you and I am going to curse those that are against you. And if I read this correctly, we are heirs. And that's part of that promise. You follow me? Go to Isaiah 54. This verse has made a huge impact in my life ever since Michael got hurt and that doctor walked into his room and read it to him. I don't know why, you know, I was praying with Joe Augustine. He sends his love again. He's doing great. It's a miracle. The doctors think it's a miracle. I mean, it was an experiment. And he's doing great. And come November sometime, he's going to get his baby shots. You know? Starting to take him off the reject medicine. And come November, he'll start getting his first baby shot. And then, you know, that's pretty interesting, huh? It's amazing. Why is one man see such deliverance in another dozen. I don't know. God says, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. So I said to Joe, when he was successful through all this thing, I said, well, praise the Lord, man. You'll have to die of something else. You know, it's not meant to be crass. It's just, this is who I am, the way I talk to my friend. But the point is, you know, I pray for deliverance one day, and one day I will pray, and it won't be there. And it won't be because God has changed. Do you see what I mean? The time is up. You know, for every single person, young or old, baby or old individual, you know, this is just simply a journey. This is our part of our time. We see God. I get to walk with God. Talked to another brother the other day. He had worked on a project for a long, long time. And, you know, he's all kinds of money, everything else that was going on. And he succeeded. And then somebody bought it right out from under him. So he's not going to really get to enjoy the fruit. You know, it's part of the rules of the game. But the point is, he got to see God work in him. You know, while he was feeling bad about the whole thing, I thought to myself, you know, and I was kind to him, let's put it that way in my thoughts, but he kept telling me through this whole project how God would help him, show him this and show him that and show him the other thing so that he could get to where he was. And that's the joy. That's the joy. Ask yourself about Abraham, okay? You want Abraham's life? I don't want to live in a tent. I'm doing better than Abraham. I got air conditioning. He was a blessed man. Did he do anything extraordinary? He believed God. God talked to him. But I don't read anything in a worldly sense that's extraordinary. I don't read anything in a spiritual sense that's sinless. He's just a man, like a person, a man, a woman that just believes the truth of God and God blesses. And some of those people, nobody knows their name. They were never famous. Just like Richie and I were talking the other day, most important, they were faithful. And God knows their name. He's the one got them written in the book of life. He's the one that's going to even the score. He's the one that's going to give out the true and the righteous reward. Because this life ain't fair. It ain't been fair since the devil owned it. And he does. In Isaiah 54:17, I believe that doctor, that surgeon, Mankin was his name, and I'm very grateful to God that God would minister to my boy in one of his greatest moments of need. And when they told him Mike was going to get out of the hospital, discharged, all of his three other surgeons told him he'd never do anything in life, basically. Never really be whole, never walk, never be able to function normally, never be able to do much of anything. You know, the guy who worked on his brain told him, you're like a vegetable that's ready to go away. And this one doctor came in and he read him this verse. And see, the word is powerful, but the truth of this is for every believer. And it says here in verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, Yahweh. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It's not of them, it's of him. Abraham believed God, and it was set to his account for righteousness, his salvation. You and I, we are righteous because of what our Lord and Savior did for us on the cross, because we believed it. Not because you're such a great guy or gal. We humbly accept the truth of what the Lord has done. But this is true. God is the one who blesses his children, who keeps them, who watches over them. He is the one who, in this very unfair and evil world, has got your back. Go to Psalm 91. This is a psalm that's talking about the time when the Lord returns. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I just had a dove, the chicks flew off today. They were in that speaker I got next to the house. It was twice this year she did that. I didn't know they did that twice in a year. But so the second set of chicks flew off. This mama was working. And I would walk up to that nest. I never messed with them, but I would walk. And you know doves, right? The ones that go, whoo, whoo. You look at them, they fly away. They're like the most skittish bird ever. And not like a robin. And a robin will sit there and look at you because he knows he can get away, you know. And blue jay will come. You mess with him, he'll come peck on your head. But doves, they're like they just run. As soon as you look in their direction, you open the door, they get freaked out. This dove sat there, took care of her chicks. I would walk right up to it. I'd work all around the house. I mean, quiet, she never would let go. She didn't freak and she didn't move. She never abandoned her chicks. That is pretty for a bird that naturally, normally heads for the hills at the least little sound. To be able to do that, it's pretty incredible. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You dwell with him in that secret place. And that secret place isn't so secret for you and I. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. He ain't going to abandon you. He's going to protect you. He's got you under his wings. I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, the one who sets out the thing that traps the birds. Well, there's traps out there for you and me. They're out there. They're set by evil and unreasonable men. It says he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And from the noisome pestilence. Pestilence is like the bubonic plague was called a pestilence. You know, it just ravaged, killed millions of people, just sick, just get sick and die. Says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day. Don't be afraid. You know, you can walk outside and get hit by lightning. Life ain't fair. You know, you can, something random can come your way. God says he's got you back. Somebody shoots an arrow into the air. I can't remember the poem. I shot an arrow into the air. Where it landed, I know not where. Well, if it lands in your head, you know where it landed. He may not. But the same thing was true in the... Oh, I'm being silly. But you know, the same thing was true. I mean, people would shoot in a war, they'd shoot their arrows up and see where it would land, like artillery. You know? They didn't have a specific little target. Well, there's stuff that flies and is possible to hit you that you don't even know is coming. You're going to walk around fearful of that? Or you're just going to take this truth? Because this is what God says to you. In Isaiah, no weapon formed will prosper against thee. Here, don't be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it will not come nigh thee. Now again, this is written when the Lord comes back and he starts to rule, and that the wrath of God is poured out on the world, and thousands are dying, and forests are burning, and oceans, you know, a third of everything is dead. This is what it says for that time. Is it any less true today? You know, how much are you going to freak out when, if he showed up and you're still, I mean, we're immortal. But the point is, it ain't going to come nigh you. Only with thy eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. You know, that's the verse the devil threw at Jesus to tempt him, to tempt the Lord. Don't pull it out of its context. You don't go out and look for trouble. Throw yourself off the building. He'll give his angels charge concerning you. Point is, the promises that God has made to his people are yours. You know, and the world we live in is evil. And that's why I pray every day, I mean, that God delivers us from evil and unreasonable men. In the neighborhood, as well as in the nations. You just keep praying. You keep asking. You keep seeking him. And understand, you know, people blame God. Oh, why did this happen? He tells you in the scriptures, life ain't fair. Never will be. Those who trust him are blessed. And that don't mean, you know, David was one who trusted in him, and he spent 20 years running for his life. That don't matter, mean that you don't have any challenges or that you won't have any bad days. That's not what I'm saying. You'll have the bad days and you'll have the challenges, but you'll have God with you. That's why you work and do while you can. You do everything with all of your might because you got today. You know, you work with all of your heart because you can enjoy your life today. You know, you love with all of your might while you have today. You know? And you just don't, take it for granted. Go to John chapter 15. I said that secret place of the Most High, it's really not so secret for us anymore. How do you stay there? How do you be there? What's the what makes this come about? It's us putting on God's word. Jesus talks about this, and he gives us illustrations with the... he says here in chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. God's the farmer. Jesus is the vine, okay? You and me, we're branches. This is the illustration. If you don't have any fruit, God prunes it off the vine. Okay? He takes it away. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except in the vine. It abides in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. You want to be under the shadow of the Almighty? Abide in him. Stay connected. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides, and the word abide is you live there. It's not talking about visiting. You live there. You know, you're not transient. You dwell there. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So you and I cannot produce fruit of ourselves. Unless we're in him. Right? There's nothing good within a man. Any man who has ever lived, including Abraham. Unless you abide in him. You abide in him. You believe the truth of God's word. You live there. Then you'll bear fruit. You don't bear fruit, guess what? The husband, he takes you off, snaps you off your firewood. That's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. That's the it's not that they're better people. It's that they are believers. They have humbled themselves to believe the promises and the truths of a God who has made salvation available. That is the difference between us and the believers. I watch people get arrogant because they're believers. And just read Romans 9 through 11 sometime. No. Don't start boasting that you're better. Because, you know, you grafted in. The natural branch can fall off because it didn't stay faithful. Don't think that you're better because you got grafted in. You got to stay faithful too. There's no favoritism with the Father or His Word. If you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you have His protection. If you abide in the vine, you will bear fruit. If you do not, that's your choice. See, it's the one thing God can't do for us is make us believe it or do it or stay faithful to it. That's ours. But expect blessings. Expect that He has your back. Expect goodness and grace. Rejoice in the day that you have. And when life ain't fair, well, He told me it ain't fair. And it ain't. You think about it. You know, it was one of the Olympics years ago. They had this guy who was going to win the gold medal in his thing. And he was from Australia. I don't know if you remember. This is a long time ago. Anyhow, there was nobody get even close. So he gets up on the platform. He slips and he falls into the pool before the race starts. Me, I'm thinking you just get out, get up back up, and you got wet. Okay, no problem. Now, the rule was you're disqualified. Imagine spending an entire lifetime working on a sport or anything. Okay? And then you trip over your own feet. And all of those years of sacrifice, practice, work, everything else, you're not going to get the gold because you tripped over your own stupid feet. I mean, and nobody pushed them. I've tripped over my feet. Just wasn't at the moment where everything is on the line. Life ain't fair. How about the guys when some of you, most of you old enough for this, the nation. You know, America didn't show up to the 1980 Olympics because of some kind of politics thing. And then the Russians didn't show up for the 1984. How about all those athletes that didn't get to prove that they were the best? Just because some political thing, your whole life's work is gone because it happened to fall at the wrong time. Life ain't fair. There's a lot of much more serious things than that life ain't fair about. But you know what? God is there. No matter what we do in this life, whether we prosper, whether we hit the mark or we don't hit the mark, I got to walk with God. I got to hear His voice. I got to have the privilege, the honor, the unbelievably non-earned blessing of knowing my Father. No matter how this thing works out. Because this is just like, okay, I get 100 years. Well, you know what? I get 100 million billion, and then it don't end. That's what's worth everything. That's what staying faithful during this stupid 100 years. And most of us ain't making it 100. You know, we didn't start out on day one. So, you know, doesn't matter. It's living in light of what's coming. That's important. I just get to serve. I get to walk. I get to serve. I get to love. I get to enjoy whatever there is to enjoy. And I know God's got my back. And I know that I've walked with him. And I know that I've done whatever I've done. And, you know, I also know I don't deserve a blessed thing of it. Not a blessed thing. But my anticipation is still that God is going to do his thing. In this world, they need him. They need him. I mean, if you don't walk around joyfully, nobody's going to want to listen to you about the Lord. Let's put it that way. Who wants to listen to a dark cloud? Oh, woe is me. You know what? I've seen people on their deathbed praising God, and it's like the greatest. I mean, this person, you could tell. This is a great moment. And I've seen people on their deathbed horrified. What's the difference? One knows what we're talking about here, and one doesn't. Verse 6, it says, if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You abide in him, guess what? Your prayer life, first of all, you're not going to be asking for stupid stuff because you're in the right place. Just like Jesus Christ was in the right place, right? He abided in his Father. There was nothing that God denied him. And there will be nothing that God denies you as long as it's in his will. You know, if you're a kid that asks for 10 gallons of ice cream and you're going to get sick as a dog, he ain't going to give you 10 gallons of ice cream. It's an illustration, you know what I mean? But if he gives you, if you ask for something that's within his will and it'll bless and prosper you and others, I believe he'll do it. I believe he'll do it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you. Jesus Christ lived joyfully. And look at the stuff he had to put up with. And that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you have love. That you love one another as I have loved you. The promises are yours. The blessings, they're part of a covenant that God made. You know, they're yours to have. life we live, it's got its ups and downs, and most of the time it's really fluctuates a great deal. And but you can still live joyfully. You can still have everything that he says. Your connection with him is there. And again, I don't know how it all works out for everyone. But I do know this, that when push comes to shove, you are his child. And you can be under the shadow of the Almighty. You walk through this life. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning.